Hi everyone, this is Cher Lee with 88.1 FM, the Weir Station, and I have turned the tables on our porch talk today, and we are going to interview Ted Tate. Okay, Ted, tell us what you do for a living.
My day job, as I call it, I'm chief engineer for BBC News in Washington, so I'm a technical guy.
Okay, wow. So being a part of the radio station here on the beach is all volunteer. You receive no pay for that.
That's right.
Is that correct?
Yep.
That's interesting. And why? Why do you do that? What drew you to that?
So I got my start in broadcasting and radio at a very young age, working at a nonprofit radio station in my high school, actually, when I was a kid. And ever since then, I have worked in broadcasting. That's the only career I've had. And in radio was always my first love. So when I found out about this radio station license becoming available and found out that it was here in Colonial Beach, where I have a house and love this town, I thought, I can't let that opportunity go. I can't let it slip by. Because, I don't know if you know, but FCC licenses are not easy to come by.
Right. And we had a great need for that here on the beach. Now, how long have you lived here?
We've had this house for about 9 years now.
9 years. Okay. And this just recently came up, the radio station.
I learned about the opportunity on March the 1st of this year.
Wow. Okay.
And we got it on the air June the 1st.
I know. It's amazing. It is amazing. Is there any goals you have for the station? I know it plays a little bit of everything, which reaches everybody's personality, which is awesome, I think. But do you have any futuristic designs happening that maybe we can get a peek at?
Well, we have some plans, and we certainly want to continue to evolve the station as we can to serve the community better. So, you know, the people I got involved in this, most of them are experienced in radio, but we want to get more of the community involved, and we also want to hear from the community about whether or not we're doing a good job, whether or not they like the radio station. Certainly, I've talked to, you know, friends and neighbors who've all said, oh, wow, I love it, it's great, whatever. Right. You know, but I know there's bound to be people out there that say, that will tell us maybe that, you know, we want more of this kind of music or less of that kind of music. We haven't quite done that yet. We've been, you know, kind of working based on our knowledge and experience to try and come up with what we think is a good station. And I think we've done a very good job.
I think you have too.
But we want to tweak it. So
right.
Well, potentially, yes. Specialty shows, that
right.
sort of thing.
Got you.
Certainly our plan is we want to refine it and change it as we think we need to. Actually, in August, on August 24th, we're going to have an all-volunteers meeting, which is anybody who maybe looked at our website or has heard the station and feels like they kind of want to get involved, but they don't quite know what to do yet or how to get involved because they don't know about radio or what have you. We're going to have a meeting for anybody who's interested to come on August 24th to the community center at 10:30 a.m. and we will lay out our plans of like the next couple of big projects that we've got going on, things where we need help.
Okay. And what date was that again?
August 24th. It's a Saturday.
And what time?
10:30 a.m.
10:30
a.m. Community Center.
That's great. So for those of you listening and you want to be more involved in the radio station, please attend that meeting event on August 28th. All right. 24th. I'm sorry. 24th. Okay. Good thing about recording.
So that event is where we'll kind of lay out what we've done so far, and then here are our next big projects, the things we're trying to do, and here are areas where we could use some help. And hopefully some people will say, oh, well, I know how to do that, or what have you.
Right, and that would be great to have more people in the community involved and helping out, doing things that normally they think they couldn't do in the first place.
Yeah, and, you know, although my core group of volunteers right now, most of them are experienced in radio, not all of them are.
Right.
And the ones that aren't have been wonderful too. They have a fresh perspective, and have worked very, very hard.
And obviously they love it, so.
Yeah, it's, I can absolutely say that, that for all of us, this has been a labor of love.
That's great.
They're working very hard, but they're having a fun time doing it.
Well, that's great to hear. Now, do you do anything outside of your technical stuff that you do? Do you have like hobbies or an interest? Or
me personally?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm an avid boater.
Oh, okay.
Which is another kind of thing that brought me to Colonial Beach.
I've been coming here. Did you join the yacht club?
No, I'm a member of the Capital Yacht Club in D.C.
Okay.
But I've been coming, before buying a house here, I'd been coming here by boat for many years, decades.
Wow, okay.
So that's how I knew about Colonial Beach in the first place.
Oh.
Came down here, I can't think how many years ago, by boat. Started meeting some very nice people. And so it ended up being anytime I was going up or down the river, Colonial Beach was going to be a stop along the way because I had friends with docks,
right.
Which is always a nice thing to have. And there was always events and parties going yes. on and that sort of thing. So
still
we,
are.
We would always stop in Colonial Beach either on the way up or the way back or both.
Right. Good.
To visit and hang out and have fun. And 1 year it was suddenly, I remember it well. It was a year when had the housing market was kind of low, and prices were really cheap, and mortgage rates were really low. And I said to my now husband at the time, I said, you know, wouldn't it be nice to own a place down here? And if we're ever going to do it, now would be the time to do it, because the market is right, you know. And that's when we started shopping, and we were on the boat, visiting on the boat at the time.
Wow. Well, that's great. I'm glad you landed here because we sure needed you.
Oh, thank you.
And we needed everything that you do for the community. Do you have any plans of retirement yourself or?
This house is, that the plan is this will be the retirement house.
So Colonial Beach will be where you retire.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's awesome.
Which I was just reading that apparently there's going to be a new medical facility in King George they're talking about is
yes.
going to open up, which it's always been one of my concerns, actually, of thinking about retiring here, is it's a bit distance from the nearest medical facility. If you're a retired person, that's the sort of thing you start to think about
it
as you get
scary.
Up to age.
It gets a little scary.
So I was glad to read about that. And there's a lot of things going on that are making this town better, and a lot of people that are making this town better.
Give me a little information about yourself, like how you grew up. Where did you live?
I'm not a local. I'm a come here, mm-hmm. I guess is what they call it. I was born and raised on Long Island, New York, suburbs
wow.
of New York City, where I think I had a fairly typical childhood of the time. When I was in high school, I got exposed to radio for the first time. My high school had a high school radio station, which I think I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And that was where I got my first taste of radio. So I was like 16 years old and started in radio.
Wow, very young when you knew.
Very young, okay. Yep. And I did a little of everything. I was on the air, I was doing music shows, I was doing newscasts, I was doing technical stuff like I do now for a living. I did all of it. In fact, I remember I started out being more interested in the technical behind the scenes stuff. And I was at the radio station one day, and this is kind of an example of how volunteer radio stations work. I was there already, back in those days you had a separate person who played the records and worked the faders to turn on the microphone and turn on the music and all that sort of stuff, a technical person who did all of that. And separately there was a person across the glass in the studio who did the announcing. And so you had an announcer and an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the engineer.
Okay.
Well, one day, the announcer didn't show up. And I was there ready to do this jazz show that we were supposed to do, and I had some records ready or whatever, but there was no announcer. So they said to me, well, he's not coming, so you need to do it.
You need to be two people.
I'm sorry?
So they said to you, you needed to be two
yeah.
people.
Yeah, and we had shows where the same person did both jobs. We called it a combo.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never done it before. I had no plans of going on the air. The best thing about that was I didn't have time to get nervous about going on the air. I just went on the air.
Right.
Flipped open the microphone and
went with it.
Started broadcasting. Which was probably the best thing for me, because I probably would have overthought it otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I did that first jazz show, got through it just fine, and then continued with being on air as well as behind the scenes.
So here at the beach on our radio, do you have your own little section, a show as you would call it, radio show?
Well, Porch Talk is probably my one thing.
Your thing, okay.
You'll hear my voice an awful lot, actually. I announce the community calendar. I do a lot of the public service announcements. I do station updates for people to know kind of what's happening at the station. We update those every week or two. Mm-hmm. I do Colonial Beach Community Foundation updates about what the foundation is up to. Mm-hmm. So my voice is probably the most heard voice on the station. That's partly because I'm doing a lot of the work, but honestly, I'm perfectly happy to let other people come on the air too, and I want to encourage that. But, you know, when you're first starting out and you've got four volunteers among you, each of us has to do a lot, you know. So that's how it's worked out. And I will admit that it's nice being back on the air again. I've enjoyed it. It was since in my career, I've moved on to being purely technical. I'm not a top 40 DJ anymore. I was at one time, but but I kind of missed that.
And when was that?
Oh, that was during my college years.
And where?
In a little town. Well, not maybe not so little. In an area called Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I was a top 40 DJ at a local station.
Well, wow.
Up there,
okay, that's impressive.
While I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. I had a great time, but I didn't do that as a career when I moved to the Washington area. I went with the technical stuff. So I kind of missed it a little bit. And so this radio station, among other things, gives me an opportunity to get back on the air again, which is fun for me. I haven't been doing any of our music shows or anything like that. I don't know, maybe someday I will. We've got some wonderful specialized music shows that we're doing now with, like, Dave Tucker doing his early jazz music review and a bunch of others. But I just... Running the station has been kind of a full-time job all by itself. I don't have time to sit down for 2 hours and also record a program.
I haven't. It's time-consuming for you.
It is, for all of us. But we're having fun with it. So.
That's the best part. The best part. A lot of things you do, and a lot of people do on this beach, are donated or time from their, from their time.
So I when I finished college, I moved to the D.C. area and got my first job at a station in D.C. And I worked for them for 7 years. Then I worked for a network that you'll have never heard of because they don't exist anymore.
Oh, really? What was it?
So it was called the Unistar Radio Network.
Okay, no.
And they eventually got gobbled up and bought by NBC Mutual, which you know who they are.
Yes.
We had a news department that I worked for as a technician, but what happened was NBC already had a news department. So when they bought the Unistar Radio Network, they said to our entire department, guess what, you guys, we don't need a news department, you're all out of a job.
Oh, wow.
So, and it happens, that's broadcasting for you. So I stayed in the D.C. area and managed to get a job with the BBC, and that's where I've been ever since. I've been there 25 years.
Wow.
And we've gone through a lot of changes. The BBC has grown, certainly our Washington Bureau has grown significantly over the last 25 years. But it's a job I still enjoy because it's news and just because I love broadcasting, it's a job that's never the same 2 days in a row. There's always something new, something different, and that's the fun of it for me, at least. It's not dull. I get to do different things. I've traveled a lot for my job, covering news stories over the years.
Oh, really?
And that's been interesting, yeah.
So you mean like a news reporter?
So I wasn't a news reporter. Again, I was the technical person who made it so that the news reporter could do their job.
Got you, okay.
So if, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. Do you remember, this was one of the first stories I went on, do you remember the Oklahoma City bombing?
Yes.
Okay, so I went on that story. In fact, I was on vacation when it happened, and back then I had a pager, You remember pagers?
Right? No, I don't.
My pager went off.
No, you don't.
My pager went off, and so I found the nearest payphone, called into the office, and they said, can you come back into the office? We need you to go to Oklahoma. And they explained to me what it was. So I packed up a bunch of equipment, including satellite dish and radio equipment and microphones and all that kind of stuff, and went down to Oklahoma City. And we were broadcasting, because there were no facilities around there, everything had been blown out. There was nothing to broadcast from. I had a portable satellite dish. Now, back in those days, portable meant two giant flight cases of equipment with a big antenna that was 3 foot across, and I had to set that up on the roof of a minivan. So we rented a minivan, drove out there, parked in front of the wreckage of the building, set up the satellite dish on top of the minivan, and set up a portable studio inside the minivan so that my journalists could do radio reports live from the event.
Wow.
And we did that for 2 weeks, I think, or maybe a week.
That had to have been something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was interesting and sad,
yes,
and all of those things.
Yes.
And did a lot of events like that. Also did a lot of course, like campaign trail stuff, and, you know, during all the primaries and stuff, where you go to New Hampshire and you go to Des Moines to cover the caucuses and the primaries and all that sort of stuff. Did a lot of that. The political conventions, mm-hmm, and so on and so forth. So did a lot of travel for a lot of different news stories. But that's what kept it interesting. You know, I got to go to new places and
see different things.
Some of them sad, some of them terrible, some of them interesting.
Now, FM 88.1, mm-hmm, are you going to, what exactly are you going to do with that? Are you doing, I know you do music and you, the jazz show, which I've heard all these and it's awesome, but I'm just wanting the public to know, are you going to incorporate news stories, if any kind of events, you advertise for people, if I was a business and I wanted to advertise my business, is there a charge for that? Can I come to you? How do you do that? Do you do that at all?
So we cannot take advertisements. We are a non-commercial radio station. Because of the nature of what we are, a nonprofit, we cannot accept money for commercials as you think of them on your local radio station.
Okay.
We're a nonprofit. However, we can accept money as donations, mm-hmm, from businesses, and we can acknowledge those donations on the air by mentioning the business.
Okay.
So the FCC lays out some very strict rules about what we can or cannot say. Mm-hmm. You've probably heard the kind of announcements that we can do on your local NPR station, where they'll say, portions of today's broadcast made possible in part by a generous donation from Joe's
Garage, right, or something.
Yeah.
Right, I got you.
So there are, just to lay it out for you, we can basically lay out the facts, mm-hmm, about a business. We can say, you know, made possible by money given to us by, you know, shares business. We can say what your address is. We, mm-hmm, can say your phone number. If you want more information, call this number. We can say your website or what have you. Those sorts of factual things. What we can't do is be seen to endorse a product or a business.
Oh, okay.
So we can't say, for example, Shares Burger Place, where they have the best burgers in town. Can't
gotcha.
Say we can say you serve burgers,
right?
But we can't say
can't
you serve
it.
The best burgers,
right? So,
and then we also can't do what's known as a call to action, where we say buy some today, or
uh-oh,
call them today, or whatever. Anything that induces the listener to do something, we can't do that.
Okay.
We can say Shares Burger Place is on Facebook at this address,
mm-hmm,
but we can't say like them now.
Right.
Facebook.
Gotcha.
Because that's a call to action. So there are limited things about
lines
what we can and can't.
You can't cross.
There are lines, very distinct lines that we,
yes,
can't cross. However, we can accept money and we can mention that business on the air for doing so, and we do.
Okay.
We have a program of underwriting, and at various levels, depending upon how much a business wants to give us, we mention them X number of times a day. And we work out a script with the business that everybody's happy with. And then once we've worked out what that script will be, we record it and put it on the air. So if a business has an idea of what we want, what they want to say in this announcement, we're happy to work with them and figure it out. But we may say, no, we can't say that.
Gotcha.
But we work it out, we get them on the air, and that's how it's done. We like to take donations for a year at a time. Mm-hmm. So although we price it out on a month-to-month basis, like $25 a month or $50 a month or $100 a month, we like to get the money for a full year in advance, and then that's a year's contract for that particular underwriter. Mm-hmm. And then next year we'll revisit it. Thankfully, we've been very lucky that there have been businesses in the area that have heard us on the air and said, I love what you're doing and I want to help. Can I underwrite the station? Without us having knocked on any doors.
That's really great. That's what I mean. They reach out.
Yeah.
They really
so we have the businesses that you're hearing on the mm-hmm. air now are ones that have already reached out to us just because they thought we
support.
Were a cool idea.
Right.
But like any nonprofit, we're always looking for more funding.
Sure.
And in fact, we're going to embark on a program where we start knocking on doors of businesses and say, would you support the radio station? We'd love to have your money and your support. And the other thing I want to do is knock on businesses' doors and say, why don't I hear the radio station in your business?
Exactly.
You've got a local town radio station and you're playing a Fredericksburg station, or you're playing Sirius XM or whatever. Why aren't you playing your local town radio station?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to do that too. Whether or not they're going to underwrite us, I'd love to have them playing us so
right.
that more listeners can hear us.
And did you say you were also? Did you say there was a news program where you incorporate whatever news?
Not as yet.
Not yet.
So
okay.
that's a goal of ours.
Okay.
We definitely want to get a news program going.
Okay.
We want to be able to collect stories and sounds of what's going on
good
in this
town.
Good or bad? Yeah, I prefer to highlight the good, to
absolutely.
Be honest.
Absolutely, who doesn't?
Because there's enough bad news out there.
I know, I get that.
For example, though, we don't have a regular newscast,
mm-hmm.
but, for example, when the Torrey Smith Park opened,
mm-hmm.
our program director, Tom Larson, went to the event
yes.
and just recorded the event and then did some interviews with people at the event,
mm-hmm.
just asking them what they thought of it and that sort of thing. And I thought it sounded great. And I was thrilled that we were able to put that on the air as highlighting some news in the town that had just happened that people
yes.
were very interested in. We got it on the air like the next day.
Yes, it was awesome.
It was, I was thrilled with that.
I was
And
too.
I want to do more stuff like that, where we go to an event that the town is
live
doing.
Events.
And do.
Wonderful.
Someday maybe a live broadcast, but right now we don't have the technical capability to do
right,
that.
Right, okay.
Or the staff to do it, quite frankly.
Gotcha.
So the biggest impediment right now to us getting news on the air is the staff members to be able to go out and do the recording. I mean, again, I have a small core group of half a dozen people, and we can't be everywhere at once, and we can't do all the work, you know. Tom, you know, has done a lot of work.
Amazing
for the station.
Person.
He really, really is.
He really is.
And he went out and did this on his own time.
Yes.
But, you know, I can't ask him to do everything.
And it was hot.
It was a very hot day.
Very hot.
So I would love to get, and actually at this volunteer meeting, I'm hoping to recruit some more volunteers who are interested in news and interested in promoting what's going on in the town, and maybe can go out with their cell phones. That's all you need.
That's
I mean, this
it.
Show is
that
being
sounds
recorded
right
on
up
a
my
cell
alley.
Phone. And just do little quick interviews with people who are at the event or the person organizing the event or what have
absolutely.
You, just to get a little flavor of the town. And then
yes.
put that on the air. So our plan is to have maybe like a little 10-minute segment a couple times a day where we talk about whatever the most recent thing is. And if
okay.
we can get enough people going out and collecting the information, maybe we can get something going with that.
Well, that sounds like you've got it all really quite under control.
We're trying.
I'm really actually looking forward to seeing how it expands and really, I agree with you 100%. People, support the station. Turn it on. Well, Ted, I'd like to thank you for your time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the audience appreciates knowing a little bit more about the man behind the mask, so to speak. And couldn't be more pleased to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
It's been fun for me, too. Okay. Have a great day, Colonial Beach, and we'll be listening to 88.1.